I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, hey, hey. It's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 103 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Adrian. Mike Jeremy is Peacock Cormichael. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going. Today is the 103rd day of summer, and it means it is the day the GCRN finds out all about how Phineas and Ferb saved summer.
But we have to figure out a way to save summer, or it'll be gone forever.
Contraction out!
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've got a good feeling about this.
By putting on a concert at home that was broadcast all around the world. Oh, so there was a global pandemic in Danville.
Oh, they couldn't actually leave. They had to do it from their backyard.
Uh-huh, yep, exactly. Are you ready, Michael, to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes, yes I am.
I'm sorry. Disney, Dan, Swampy, everybody that worked on this, this was not a Shakespearean play. This did not need five acts.
Pentatampic.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to jump straight into that. It's like, no, before we talk about the synopsis or what happened or, you know, guest voice actor, we're just going to jump right into the fact that this could have been half an hour. Yeah, we would have been fine with it.
Yep.
Okay.
I've watched this twice. You've watched this, what, twice, I think?
Yeah.
And
There's a lot of fluff in here.
Yeah. And we're not talking about marshmallow fluff either.
No marshmallow. I mean, there's a lot of bits. I mean, you know, the spelunking. You know, maybe. I mean, I love Wallace Shawn. I picked that voice out immediately. Inconceivable. But maybe Wallace didn't need to be in this episode. He might have been in the cutting room floor, you know?
There will be absolutely no self-discovery.
There was some other bits that were like, this is going on far too. Irving didn't need to sing. I didn't need to hear him at all.
Somebody, you just don't like Irving. That's all it is.
I don't like Irving. Somebody promised Irving something. You know, and he was he's like calling in my debts today. You know, like, fine, we'll let you sing for 10 minutes. You know, we got an hour to play with. Okay, that's fine. Just yeah, I think Roger had a bigger speaking role than Ferb at this point.
He did.
Yeah, he had more lines than Ferb, which is really strange. Yeah. There's a whole lot of stuff here that could have been trimmed away, and it would have been a better episode.
Yeah.
I like double episodes, you know? I mean, half an hour is they have a very tight writing style here, and they can cram a lot of stuff in a half an hour. I've seen them do it.
Yep.
And this just seemed like they said, "You know what? We can't do half an hour. We need like 35 minutes." And the best we can do now is cram another 25 minutes of Irving singing to flesh it out into an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all right.
The sad thing is, so, and I promise I'm not throwing you under the bus, but I'm going to do some behind the scenes things here, folks. So Michael got confused and thought this was the last day of summer.
I did.
Which is the finale. And I'm like, nope, it's not the last day of summer. This is Save Summer. It's different. This is this.
They sound very similar.
Yes, they sound very similar. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, no worries.
Watched the wrong episode. That's okay.
It's okay.
You know, it happens.
Hey, look, I sat there and I was like, oh, right, we're on Pharmacists. I watched Pharmacists. That's one of the reasons why this got delayed is because I watched Under the Living Pharmacist instead of this. Spoiler alert for next episode, folks. Night of the Living Pharmacists, much better than this.
Really? See, spoilers. I haven't watched that one yet. That's only half an hour, right?
Night of the Living Pharmacists is two parts. It is 26 and 25. So it's the same. It's pretty much 50 minutes.
Oh, wow.
26 and 25. Yeah. These both are hour-long specials.
Okay.
Same thing with Star Wars. Star Wars is hour-long. Star Wars is roughly more over an hour long. Here's my problem with Save Summer. Okay. Is that it's slight. I think what they did was, as they were getting close to the end of this season, is they decided to go away from the format of 11-minute cartoons. They were like, we're going to do specials for the rest of the season. We're going to do longer. We're going to go South Parking. We're going to go bigger, longer, uncut. They decided to do mini movies for the rest of the season because all of the episodes, even the ones that are, because all of these episodes are split up into two parts on Disney Plus. Every single episode, starting with Save Summer, all the way to the last day of summer. Because my argument was going to be was Save Summer should not be longer than Last Day of Summer, and I'm sitting here right now looking at Last Day of Summer. Part one is 25 minutes. Part two is 26 minutes. So they're all... Oh, no. Oh, no, that's... Yeah, that's right. That's roughly right. So they're all roughly... No, I can't math it. All.
Too much math.
Well, yeah, too much of the maths.
Far too much math.
Yeah, far too much meth. Meth.
Meth. My favorite activity.
Uh-huh. I bet people listening to this podcast now are like, what the are they talking about meth for?
Because it's
a Belgeetle thing.
It's a Belgeetle thing. People have heard this before on this show.
I know
exactly what we're talking about. I think like every week it's a meth. Something about meth. Longtime fans. They're nodding their heads along. They know.
It's a good thing you're not supposed to put music in podcasts anymore because I really want to put in Nickelback's Something in Your Mouth and make it Something in Your Meth. Oh, God. Anyway, they basically switched from 11-minute episodes to full-on hour-long specials to the end of this series, which is fine. Again, when you have something that's called Save Summer and then the last episode of the entire series is called The Last Day of Summer, I don't think Save Summer should be longer or just as long as the finale. I think the finale should be something special. I think the finale honestly should have been this giant movie-length thing. It shouldn't have been just another two-part episode. If you're going out as a series finale, go out with a bang.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, what were this is like 10 years ago now, but what were the contractual obligations here? You know, was it like, oh, you know, we're committed to, you know, X amount of minutes of entertainment here. And we gotta do something, but we're suffering from senioritis because we know this is it. And you know, we're just gonna, you know, put as much into it as we can and not as much as like, let's say, previous episodes, previous seasons. Yes. Everything's really, really tight. Like I said, the writing is really tight. They usually have no problem filling, you know, 2 11-minute episodes like to the gills. And if half of those gills are recurring jokes.
Yep, don't have that problem. This episode, they had lots of those problems because this just, I don't know. I
know, it's Irving.
It's not just Irving.
Irving's so going straight under the bus here.
So it feels like all of this episode, all five acts.
Hello, and welcome to Love Muffin's first annual. I said Love Muffin's first annual disservice awards. So, who's ready to have some fun?
It's a bunch of check-ins. What's this character doing? What's that character doing? How's this going? What's this part? It's not that the story wasn't fluid. It was a fluid story. It went from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, L. It went through all that, but...
I don't remember there being that many, but okay.
My point is that it went through the story beats, but the problem is there isn't much of a story. The story is more of... We're going to have all of our characters doing all these different things all at once during this summer concert. Irving's over here jamming out on this. Doofenshmirtz is over here doing this. Perry's over here doing this. Major Monogram is now fired. He's been removed from his mustache. Carl has inherited his disgusting mustache. We have King of Late Night, or former King of Late Night, Jay Leno, coming in as Colonel Contraction.
He actually had the giant chin.
Yes, which is good.
Well, I mean, if it's Jay Leno, sure, you need the giant chin. That's like his thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which
a lot of kids out there now who have no idea who Jay Leno is.
Yeah, no.
Jay what? Jay who?
Just look up the Tonight Show Jay Leno on YouTube, kids.
Wasn't that the guy who played the Joker in the Suicide Squad movie?
No. That's Jay. No. Huge huge difference between Jay Leno and Jared Leto.
Oh, Leto. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And look, honestly, folks, the only reason why you should ever pay any attention to Jared Leto is because he had a band years and years and years ago. He was the lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars, and they had one amazing song called Capricorn. And I still love that song. Yeah, I still love that song to this day. Jared Leto, one of the worst actors in Hollywood ever.
Just terrible. Did you see Mobius?
No.
Morbius?
No.
It was awful. It really was.
I do not watch, but okay.
I would rather watch Blade again. You know, like the entire trilogy again, even though they you know.
Blade, the first Blade, 1998 Blade.
Oh, it's a classic.
It was an actual good
amazing
film.
Amazing movie. Oh man, I love that movie.
Yeah. Blade 2 is a little questionable. Yeah. Blade 3 is a little questionable.
Well, it had Ryan Reynolds and he saved it. But pre-Deadpool, okay. Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool. Yeah,
well, and the funny thing is about that, you know, I saw an Instagram reel when Deadpool and Wolverine came out, or when it was about to come out, where people are interviewing Wesley Snipes, and it's just the camera on Wesley, and somebody's asked him a question. You don't hear the question, but you hear his answer, and he goes, "Oh, we've hated each other for 20 or 30 years. Oh no, we've actually liked each other the whole time. It's just this thing we keep up." But you know, he gives me a call and he goes, "Well, I don't know how the hell you're going to pull that off, but yeah, sure, I'll come back as Blade."
Well, it's funny because, you know, Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes is Wesley Snipes, you know, and it's like oil and water, or what are two things that explode when you put them too close to each other? And so it's like that was the rumor for years was, you know, they hated each other. They hated each other. And because Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds ad-libbed half of his lines. And Wesley Snipes is a commensurate professional, and he doesn't ad-lib. And he's like, cut that shit out. You know, that is not cool. You don't do that. And he's like, look, you know, it's just me being me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know the truth of it, but I thought it was awesome when they got a chance to work again together. They should have brought back Jessica Biel. What? They brought back Jennifer Garner. They're about the same age.
Yeah. I think the only thing I ever enjoyed Jessica Biel in, okay, two things. That movie's 20 years old this year. 2005's Fantastic Four and its sequel, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
That's not Jessica Biel.
Oh, that's Alba.
Jessica Alba. There you go.
Okay. Anyway, Jessica. Okay, so I can say the only thing that I've absolutely enjoyed Jessica Biel in.
Yeah.
No, it is. There is another. What's the other movie? Stealth. Yeah. She was in Stealth, and she was in my favorite, 2001's, with Freddie Prinze Jr. and what's his name? Scooby. Shaggy. Matthew Lillard. Fred Ward was in it. Summer Catch. She was the daughter of Bruce Davidson in Summer Catch.
You know, I did not see that.
It's a good Summer Catch is basically Massachusetts, the Cape Cod League baseball thing. So for me, being originally from Massachusetts, that's really the number one reason why I like it. And then there's the pool scene with Jessica Biel. So that's yeah, exactly.
All right.
Phineas and Ferb, folks, we're talking about everything else that actually, yeah. These seven acts about? that don't really matter.
All right.
So, 5-year-old Candace has a message for teenage Candace.
Right. Because who hasn't done that?
Yeah, really.
Don't forget to invent a new ice cream flavor. I don't know if I'm interested in, like, grilled cheese ice cream.
No.
It's like, you know, on the one hand, I like ice cream that has, like, baked goods in it. You know, like cookie dough or birthday cake or, you know, something like that. So like, bread. Even toast. Nice. But not cheese. I can't imagine cheese.
No.
Like cheese flavored ice cream would be good.
Yeah, no. See, like you're mentioning,
cream cheese?
Yeah, but cream cheese is not cheese. Like cream cheese is not.
Could you make a cream cheese grilled cheese? And if so, what would that taste like? Wow, I may have invented something right now.
Yes, Irving, you may have done so. Go into the kitchen right after the podcast and start.
Totally going to do this.
Yes.
I got a brick of Philadelphia. I'm just going to fry it up.
That's right.
I'll let you know how it turns out.
Absolutely.
Some butter on that bread.
No. Call up Ben and Jerry's tomorrow morning. First thing. Vermont's finest, coming from Illinois.
Cheese. Kansas cheese. It's cheesy good.
Oh, God.
It's quick and it's easy. And it's really something cheesy.
I mean...
grilled cheese ice cream.
Yeah, generally you don't do... There are... Okay, so pretzels go in ice cream certain times. Like, there's certain ways, but when you think... Yeah, I don't think of, like... I'm pretty sure...
Was it grilled cheese? It was grilled cheese, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was grilled cheese.
Ice.
I'm pretty sure there isn't cheeseburger... I'd have to look at the Ben & Jerry's website, and I'm only saying them because they are the kings of... I'm saying they are the kings of the flavor combination type, like, oh my God, what's the next new everything flavor that you're going to get from.
I already can see the cheese would be bad in ice cream, but now you're talking about yes. meat.
Meat, well, that's ice what. Cream. No, I know. That's my point. Okay. My point is that there's certain things like s'mores. Yeah. S'mores are a savory, sweet and savory thing because you have the graham cracker, you have the marshmallow, and salty. And salty.
Yeah,
you can have savory and salty things with the sweet, but you can't have cheese, because cheese is not cheese, specifically like grilled cheese, cheeseburgers. It's a
dairy product.
It's a dairy product, but it's a dairy product that doesn't belong on ice cream. Not specifically, I'm thinking like government cheese. That's what I'm thinking of. Government cheese, American government slice. Cheese. Like, you can't.
They didn't slice government cheese. That was a brick. They made you slice that shit yourself.
Yeah, I understand that. My point was the Kraft singles American. Yeah. You can't do that in ice cream. You shouldn't do that.
You can make a nice brie ice cream, right? But you can't make like, a Kraft ice cream because that would be nasty.
Oh,
a nice camembert ice cream would be all right, though.
Ew! Oh gross. My
god! You know, brie ice cream. That doesn't sound terrible. I could see that.
So the mustacheless X major monogram is now working at Mr. Slushy Dog. I'm just going to start reading the Wikipedia article directly. Behind the drive-thru counter, he believes Jeremy is about to fire him and resigns before he can. But it turns out Jeremy was about to ask Monogram to clean the bathroom. Oh boy!
Yeah, I would have quit too. Speaking of things that could have been trimmed for time.
Yeah.
Just like, why? Oh, I'm just, yeah. I had completely forgotten about that scene. I thought you were bringing it up expressly to point out that it could have been cut.
No, I was bringing it up so I could just read from the wiki and get us back on track so we could stop arguing about cheese on ice cream, which it does not belong. Cheese on ice cream is like... Like, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
Did you just offer me cheese?
No. No, not at all.
Okay, anyway. That's from another cartoon. You might not recognize that one.
No. In the abandoned warehouse, all the agents are locked up in cages. However, Doofenshmirtz points out that Perry is still out there somewhere. Taking no regard in this, Rodney decides it's high time to hold the world ransom, and the villains head off to arrange a press conference outside City Hall. I hate Rodney.
I think Rodney actually is evil. And
he is, yes.
What's funny here is that they, you know, we've had this conversation before where it's like, Doofenshmirtz isn't really evil. He's just kind of like, you know, motivated by his backstories to do weird shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, if he had any ounce of forethought to what his innators are actually doing, he could probably do a lot of good in the world with these devices.
Yeah.
Rodney just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
He's just like, screw this. I'm sending us all into the ice age.
Yep.
He's like classic Bond villain. Oh, you know who could have shown up there was the James Bond analog. Been in the show before.
Blofeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, classic. Oh, yeah, I was going to say mad scientist going on here, but they had they did make the distinction between I'm an evil scientist, not a mad scientist.
Yes. Because I mean, Doofenshmirtz does get mad, but he's not he can be crazy, but he's not crazy out of his mind. He's like you said, he's evil scientist.
Yeah. Maybe mad and bad, but he's not crazy.
No, he's not crazy. Why would he be crazy? So yeah.
Yes.
What's his nuts? Mr. I and I'm sorry. An Iser.
An Iser.
It's It's an innator. An Izer? Oh, God. I mean, the last time I heard anything called an Izer was an ionizer. And an ionizer ionizes things. They destroy things. Yeah, Rodney, pure evil. Rodney, bad villain. Rodney,
Izer's must things.
Die. Yes. Rodney wants to move the Earth away from the sun. God.
Well, I mean, I thought that the Innator was actually pretty interesting in that it uses the gravity of Jupiter to pull the Earth slightly out of its orbit. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, technically, with the correct usage, you could regulate the temperature of the Earth that way.
So you mean we could go back to 6 months of, you know, normal weather and 6 months of winter?
You, like, no, you could have 12 months of California weather.
No, fuck no,
every day.
No.
What? No, California's beautiful.
No,
California's amazing. No. Beautiful all the time. And then, you know, at nighttime it gets a little chilly, but you put on a sweater, you're good. Put on a hoodie, it's comfortable.
You give me Big Bear
s'mores outside.
Yeah, the only way you're getting California weather and s'mores is if you give me Big Bear. You give me the California mountain and the cold and the snow. That's the only way you're getting California weather and s'mores.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll take that over any other one.
Last week it was 10 below here. So, no, I don't want that. I'm not a fan. I am. Beautiful California weather here.
No.
Slightly tweak the orbit of the Earth every so often, every couple of weeks or so, and be beautiful. Well, I guess for half the planet, the other half would just be plunging into an eternal night. A small price to pay for me, I suppose.
Yeah, hey, as long as I can be an eternal night, I'll be good.
It's so cold. So cold.
It's okay. I'll be good. Like I said off air, I'm 6'1", 470-something pounds. I'm a furnace. I run hot, so I can handle the cold.
Just gonna let people choose. Like, what side of the planet do you want to be on? The sunny, delightful side, or this godforsaken frozen hellhole? And Blanche just got his hand up, like me, frozen hellhole, please.
I'll take the frozen hellhole, please. That's right. Damn straight.
Oh.
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh my god. Act 3, West Side Story musical number. Honestly, come on now. No. Come on now. This was begging to be cut for time.
Yeah, that could have been cut for time.
It was so bad.
That was horrible.
Spelunking with Saul. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Wallace Shawn. I think he's a national treasure. Going to be very unhappy when he goes the way of Betty White, much as the way I was unhappy when Betty White went the way of Betty White.
Mm-hmm.
But It was just so much filler.
Okay, now we're going to squeeze past this stalactite. I mean, stalagmite. Wait, which one is on top?
Actually, I believe that's just a
hole. Oh, I seem to be trapped! Turn away, folks. I'm going to have to saw my arm off. That was a close one. Now follow me.
It was 92. I'll see if I can send this to you, or I'll see if I can find it online. Have you ever seen, and you probably haven't seen this, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this. There is a film from the early 90s that he starred in called The 00 Kid.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
So it's with him, it's with Corey Haim, and he plays Cashpot, the villain, in this movie.
Okay.
And he basically plays a online sort of games master. And his house has all these video games in the basement, but they're actual arcade games, but they're hooked up to his central computer because he's a computer nerd. I think you would like it. Yeah. But that's the first, anytime Wallace Shawn comes up, that's the first thing I always think of. And then obviously the next thing I always think of is Rex from Toy Story.
Oh my God. Not the Princess Bride.
Hell no.
That's like his, iconic role. But yeah, Rex, you know, but you don't actually see his face in Rat in Toy Story. He's
but you hear his voice and you know.
Yeah, you know, he's got a fantastic voice.
Absolutely.
Delightful in as Rex. But but come on. Inconceivable. I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Means, yes. I think that's the that's one of like three things I only know from that. I still have not seen that damn movie. I don't know if I will ever. I resist watching that stupid.
What is wrong with you? Oh my God.
I have resisted watching that stupid movie for the longest friggin' time because everybody's like, oh my God, The Princess Bride. Oh my God, The Princess Bride. You must watch The Princess Bride. The closest thing I get to The Princess Bride is the, what's the PG-13 version of
Deadpool 2? Where they parodied with Fred Savage.
I know. What's the name?
Fred Savage is like, I can't feel my legs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's one clip of that. There's one clip. I use it in podcasts all the time. I'm probably going to throw it in right here.
This is how you remind me.
Where?
I don't think it's hard.
So, you know, so that clip is basically that people just heard is them summoning Nickelback because Deadpool.
Right.
Yeah.
He gets all pissed off because
yep.
You take that back right now.
yep. That's as close as I come to The Princess Bride is that clip. Fine. Yeah, that's the. It's just never been on my radar to. I've never felt like I need. I understand that. I understand and I respect that. It's just never been on my radar as something that I need to experience. Just like most of the Monty Python. Outside of, I will taunt you a second time.
I know. Them, like, those fighting words there, man. I don't know. Not sure if I can be your friend anymore.
I mean, hey, if we want to do a Monty Python specific thing for Studio 2009 later this year, we surely can. I mean, we're going to have time after we finish up with Phineas and Ferb until season 5 hits.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could probably do that, but it's going to take. Huh?
So there's too much.
What do you mean there's too much?
Too much Monty Python. You've got like many episodes and so many movies.
History. No. I'm not talking about episodes. I'm talking about the movies, man. The movies, not the episodes. The movies.
Might be 4 or 5.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But it's going to take a lot of Ben and Jerry's and a lot of Pizza Hut to convince me to watch Princess Bride. Maybe even some McDonald's. Yeah, it's going to take a lot. I am going to have to be bribed, cajoled, and all that kind of stuff.
Act like it's a bad movie, but it's not. It's a delight. And I can understand if you don't want to watch 13 hours of Lord of the Rings, but, you know, it's,
which I don't.
It's on par. I mean, you know, and that's saying something. It's like,
maybe. You never know.
This is one of these movies where I've seen it dozens of times, and it's just, and I don't watch movies more than once. That's the thing. Except maybe like Star Wars, but wow, I'm really surprised. Okay, all right, moving on. Here we go.
Are we moving on? So
I don't know. We got to. I was somewhere on Act 5, I think. I don't know.
Okay, so you're in Act 5, so we completely skipped all of Act 4. Okay, good. By this point, the entire world is now in perpetual winter. So, perpetual winter, everybody.
Like that scene in Frozen.
Oh, God, don't even get me started on that movie.
Oh, come on, just let it go.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Right into that. It was awesome. Shut the fuck up.
Not. No. No.
Don't make me sing. I'll do it. Oh, man. So Monogram's homeless, and he deputizes a street rat, which is hilarious, because then the street rat actually becomes an agent. That I would not have cut.
Street rat. I won't buy that.
Now you're going to sing?
Well, I mean, you said Street Rat. My first thought was 1992 in Aladdin.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's obscure. Okay.
That's not obscure. That's Disney.
Oh, dude. It's like a throwaway line out of a song from 30 years ago. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
Who is Aladdin obscure?
Oh my god. So what you're saying is you won't watch Princess Bride, but you will watch animated Disney princess movies.
Well, yeah. Not Frozen, but anything else.
Frozen was a masterpiece. I cried.
Frozen?
Not Frozen 2, though. No, that was garbage, but yeah, the first one. Okay.
Okay.
But we just took my nieces and nephews out to Disney on Ice. And Frozen was in it, but it wasn't Frozen. It was Frozen 2. And I'm like, ah, this is bullshit. This is garbage. And Moana was in it. So that was kind of neat too.
Okay.
But I like Moana.
No. I have nothing against Moana, but I don't know. Unless you're actually going to do a new movie where they all team up, I don't really want combinations of the things unless it's meant to be that way.
Oh no, this was they did it more like a playlist where it was like, oh, remember that time in that movie, and then they acted it out, and it's like, oh, remember in that movie, and then they acted that out. They had Lion King out there. The latest movie is called Wish.
Yep.
Didn't see it. Don't know nothing about it. Don't know nothing about it, but I got the crash course while they skated around. In an ice rink.
Yeah, crash course at an ice rink. There you go. Talk about hockey Z9.
Three-dimensional hockey.
That's right. You know,
what's funny is they actually brought the Zamboni out for halftime.
Very cool.
It was cool.
Very cool, very cool.
All right, what are we talking about now? We got about rats, something about cave trolls. You don't like Harry Potter either, do you?
Not my thing.
Call yourself a geek. Holy cow. All right, yeah, so
I am a space geek. I am not a fantasy geek. There's a huge difference.
Okay, sci-fi. All right, I get it. Mm-hmm. I'll buy that.
Yeah. For a dollar.
Buy that for a dollar.
So the deputized rat frees all the animal agents. They go back to whatever. They put the sun. They put the earth. The sun, wow. They put the earth back to its proper orbit. He attempts to program the Inizer, which is still a stupid name, to reversing the process, but Rodney and engages into a fight with him over the controls. I hate Rodney. I cannot overstate that enough.
He goes to jail, though, right? I'm pretty sure he
hope to God he goes to jail.
They sent him out to Gitmo.
Oh, let's hope.
Just a deep, dark hole. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, there were a lot of... You know, we've seen Love Muffin before. But yep. There were a lot of pharmacists in this. And I really thought that there... I didn't think there were that many. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Too many pharmacists.
If this was too many pharmacists, next episode.
Well, that's when everybody turns into a pharmacist, yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody turns into a zombie pharmacist copy of Doof.
But not evil, per se. Just
not evil, per se,
misguided. And possibly infectious.
Yeah, very, very infectious. Like, put a mask on. And don't breathe on me.
No mask mandates. It's illegal now.
Put a mask on. Don't breathe on me. You know, like it's like that old police song. Don't stand so close to me.
Like a big yellow flag. Don't sneeze on me.
That's right.
No snez on snack.
The references we've pulled out of our ass tonight, folks.
Oh, like, I don't remember the episode, so I got to be just say something. But I watched it like twice, and honestly, the bits and pieces of it that are memorable, and the rest are like, why? There, I don't understand. Ah, good times though. Good times. I'm trying to remember, like, what did I like about the episode? And I liked in the beginning when they had the virtual, you know, the virtual concert. And one of the locations was the Bean in Chicago. And I was like, ah, I've been there. You know, it was like
yep.
Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen. Oh,
yep. You know,
I was there. New Orleans, been there. Trafalgar Square, London, been there. You know, it's like, that's really cool. And it also showed a bunch of places that I kind of want to visit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that's neat. We, you know, Phineas and Ferb have now covered my travel bucket list.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when I saw him on top of the Bean, I was like, what? You know, it's in my backyard.
That's right. Sort of.
It's half an hour commute, yeah, but yeah.
Uh-huh. See, folks, he says he lives in Chicago. He doesn't actually live in Chicago.
It's half an hour away. It's not that.
It's adjacent, but you live in a separate state.
It's half an hour to drive there, another half an hour to find parking.
That's right.
Welcome to Chicago.
If you're lucky. Half an hour to find parking, if you're lucky.
It's funny. I used to work in Hyde Park, and the joke was, you know, welcome to Hyde Park, where you can't hide and you can't park.
You can't park. That's right. So 3 out of the 7 songs are instrumental repeats, sort of. You got Doofenpuss theme. You got the Slushy the Clown theme. And then you got the Mexican Jewish Cultural Festival instrumental theme. The other songs are... Summer All Over the World. I love that song. That was a great song. Absolutely love it.
That was a good
song. Battle Hymn of the Republic, which sounds like a Star Wars title. Michael's favorite song, which is Irving's campfire song.
Man. I almost had to gnaw off my own arm like the Saul stuck in the cave.
And Alka's going down, down, down. I love the songs. I think the songs are good. Summer All Over the World is the best one, I think.
It was a fun song. Yeah,
it was very fun. Very awesome.
Now it wasn't, well, I forget the name of it, but it,
Summer Belongs to You.
No, it's the song that they sing at the end of Last Day of Summer.
Oh, I don't remember what that is off the top of my head. I'm not looking at that yet.
It's, it's a good song.
Right. Yeah, overall, I mean, like we said.
There it is. Curtain Call. That's the name of it.
Curtain Call. There you go.
Curtain Call. Good song.
It's the last episode of the series, supposedly, up until, hey, look, we're getting to season 5.
Getting the band back together.
We're getting the band back together.
Alka's Going Down. So Alka's Going Down was like, that was the West Side Story riff.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think their target audience was going to recognize West Side Story.
But the thing is that aren't we the target audience at this point?
We'll put it this way. 10-year-olds were their target audience 10 years ago. Now they're all 20. They still don't know what the hell West Side Story is.
That's very true. But
unless they're like theater geeks, in which case they're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I know where that came from 10 years ago. And all the rest of it was just instrumental. So, there were very few songs.
Yeah, 11
for an
years
hour.
Ago.
For yeah. an hour. I mean, yeah. If it were 4 separate episodes, there would have been, you know, 6 or 8 songs.
Yeah. This episode is 11 years old. June 9th, 2014 for Disney XD. June 20th for Disney Channel U.S. airings in 2014. So 11 years old. And I gotta say, though, like, they are... yes, they want to write to a certain age demographic. Yes, they want to create stories for a certain age demographic. Yes, Dan and Swampy have created a show here in Phineas and Ferb to show kids that you can do anything that you can put your mind to. But the rest of it, with Monogram and Alka and Doofenshmirtz and Evil Incorporated and all of that, especially now with Love Muffin in this specific episode, I'm sorry. Yeah. No child at all under the age of 18 should be aspiring to be fucking Rodney.
Well,
that's a villain. Like
that's, he's clearly a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my point. Like, my point is that, like, okay, when Wally Burr was directing Peter Cullen and Frank Welker and everybody else, and when all of those writers were writing for Transformers back 41 years ago, kind of thing, they were writing stories that were for kind of for themselves, but also for kids, or Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes, perfect example. Those writers and Leon Schlesinger and all those guys way back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, they weren't writing for kids. They weren't.
That was prime time stuff.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of my point with this specific episode. With this specific episode, this was not aimed at specifically for that song, for the West Side. Let's go down to where...
I get that they understand they're making a kid's show, but they write with a definite eye toward adult humor.
Yeah,
you know, they know that the parents are also watching.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so a lot of the illusions, and I know we sometimes will throw out the illusions because sometimes they don't really work, but let's just go through these. Doctor Who in the London sequence during Summer All Over the World, the gang dress up as characters from Doctor Who. Okay, fine. But how many 10-year-olds or whatever 11 years ago are paying attention to Doctor Who? 10-year-olds, I don't think Fine. Are paying in. Okay. Fine. Well, yours are raised right. That's the difference.
I mean, Aiden was Doctor Who number 11 when he was for Halloween when he was like 8, I think. He wanted the suit. He wanted the bow tie. He wanted the fez. That was like his choice.
Okay, so I don't. And this is more of a you thing and me. Well, what I'm going to bring up next is more of a you and me or whatever. More of adult. Okay, thing.
Sure.
How many kids? 11 years ago, how many 10-year-olds 11 years ago know who Romeo and Juliet and the Hatfields and McCoys are? I'm betting not a lot.
None of them.
So
how many grown-ass adults know who the Capulets and Montagues are? I mean, that's not a whole lot. You got to be up on your Shakespeare,
yeah,
for that, you know, and not a lot of people are. I mean, everybody knows Romeo and Juliet, but do you know their last names?
Montague and Capulet.
Montague and Capulet, exactly. But, you know,
because we used to be Shakespearean actors.
That's right.
But my point is, most of the things that are written into a lot of these episodes and all forms of cartoon thing, like, how many kids in 2014 were that big into the current events of the president? Like, 2014, Obama was still in office.
Yeah.
Because he had that second term.
They still tell little kids who the president is.
No, I know, but like, the way this is Rodney presumably speaks to Obama himself when video chatting with the president. Like, it's one of those things in this the cartoon.
Actual president.
Like, yeah, where he's supposedly speaking to him.
That's right. Kevin Michael Richardson played
that's
Obama.
Right. That's right.
This guy.
Uh-huh.
He could do Darth Vader.
Yep.
He can
Dude can do anything.
He can do anything. He's so good.
Anything. So good. And I'm not saying kids shouldn't know or don't know who the president is. What I'm saying is that these writers, these creators, they are creating this show, yes, with an eye towards their audience, but they're also creating the thing for themselves. Like, we've spent 16, 17, Steve's on, I think, 18 or 19 years of podcasting. Like, we create all of these podcasts. Generally, I create it for myself. I put it out there into the world, and hopefully people like it. But generally, I spend all this time recording with my friends like you and Steve and everybody else because I enjoy having these conversations that we have. And I put all the work in because I want it to be a good thing that I can put out in the world. But I basically enjoy the process of having the conversation. Yeah. And I'm having this conversation with you, not aiming it directly at the audience. We're just having a conversation. That's how I look at it. So that's how I'm looking at this, where what?
There's no fourth wall to break, right? It's just, no, we're just having a conversation about stuff that we like. Yeah, no.
There's no it's over. Go home. Turn the podcast off. This is not the Ferris Bueller you were looking for.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing here? Go home. Oh, get out of here. That's right.
I think that was the first actual end credit scene I'd ever seen.
Really? Yeah, probably.
Oh wait, was that before or after Gremlins 2?
Good question.
Gremlins 2 actually had a couple different ones, depending on where you saw it.
Well, we know...
You don't gotta look it up now. Don't do it now. I mean, I'm just saying.
No. I know next year is the 40th anniversary of Ferris, because Ferris came out in 86.
Really?
Gremlins 2, the new batch, came out in 1990. So, 4 years difference. Oh.
All right, so yeah, Ferris Bueller, I think, was the first end credit scene. Well, the first one I'm aware of, again, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Now they're ubiquitous. Now I'm disappointed that there isn't one.
I always have to look. Unless the internet says, hey, by the way, there is one, I always look. And I blame Marvel. I blame Marvel.
Mostly
for
I stream stuff, and I don't mind scrolling to the end of the credits.
No. It's not a problem. Yeah. I'm not complaining about. I'm just saying we never. It's a thing that became culturally aware to do after Iron Man. It's all Marvel's fault, and now that it is in the cultural zeitgeist, we always do it, and we always will do it just to be sure and just to be on the safe side. And like you said, we're disappointed when there isn't one.
For the movies that I like, you know, like superhero movies or Disney animation, stuff like that. Yeah, they're all gonna. I don't watch. Like movies that are Oscar nominated for the most part. So it's like, I would expect to see an end credit scene at the end of Oppenheimer.
Awards are stupid.
Because none of the movies I like ever get one. Yeah. With the exception of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Technical Oscars though. That's different. That's a different story. But they don't televise that. You know, no, it's not a big deal. They don't have a red carpet for those.
Oh, they have a black carpet for those. They've been black carpeted.
Like blacklisted?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, essentially.
They won't put your ass on TV.
That's right.
We don't care what you're wearing today. Get out of here. Go sit down.
We're lucky
we're even having a party for you. Come on. All right. What else have we missed?
I don't know. I think we've hit it all.
Something about Tortoise and the Hare. Something about Team America World Police.
And I never liked that movie either.
You know, I'm not a big fan of puppets. So, you know, but that movie was just really out there. That was really strange.
Yeah, very, very strange. Are we ready to rate this thing?
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. I just think it was too long.
Yep.
And there wasn't enough to like, considering it was a whole hour.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the problem with this specific 1 hour special is they had so many stories. They had A, B, C, D, F, G, H, A. They had the whole alphabet here. They tried to have the whole alphabet here. They didn't have, like we've talked about over the last, when did we start this podcast? 2016, 2017. Oh God, we better finish this show next. I don't know. what is it? Supposed to have 40 episodes. Yeah, not really. Not one season 5 stars. We're supposed to have 40 new episodes.
Really?
So I think that's what they said.
If you go to the wiki and you click on season 5, it's got 10 listed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Now I got to count it.
Yep. Now you got to count it.
17. Like 17 listed. Which, I mean, I could see them having, what is the usual season run? Like 22 episodes, roughly? Oh, no, this actually says number of episodes 20. So, yeah, I thought it'd be more like 22, but yeah, 20 episodes. Totally doable. 501, 502, 503. Oh, okay, so these are. Yeah, they list all the way up to 509. And Meet Me in St. Louis is probably a two episodes, a half an hour thing. But they only list half of them then.
So I Googled it.
All right, sure.
Don't you just love Googling stuff on your phone, folks?
Scotty Googled me twice last night, and it was fantastic.
Wait, who Googled you last night? What?
Spaceballs.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen Spaceballs either. You're killing me.
Are you? Oh, dude, don't even. Fuck you. You know better than that. Who hired that man as a gunner? I did, sir.
That's right.
What's your name? Asshole. Major asshole. What's his name? Surrounded by ass. Spaceball is amazing. Anyway, I Googled it.
Yes.
The answer is, in January 2023, during the winter press tour for the Television Critics Association, Disney branded television announced that 40 new episodes of Phineas and Ferb were ordered to be split across two seasons, with Pavan Meyer returning as executive producer. Now, I also know
that 20 per season. Yeah.
Yeah. So, 20 per season.
All right. Yeah.
I also know from following Dan on Instagram, from following Mr. Pavan Meyer on Instagram, that is what he said himself. I would rather get the news from the man himself than rely on Google or, again, folks.
Fair enough.
For actual.
But if you already heard it from Dan Pavan Meyer, why would you feel the need to Google it?
Yes, because I wanted to make sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
Great googly moogly.
Great, exactly. Great googly moogly. So are we at rating for this?
I'm leaning toward a 3.
Yeah, I'm.
It could have gone higher if it were short.
Yeah.
If we tightened it up a bit, trimmed some of the fat. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Would have been better.
Yeah, I'm at a 2.
Ah. Okay.
Yep. I'm at a 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I watched it twice.
Don't even want to watch it again. I will avoid. I would cross the street to avoid this episode.
100%. 1,000%. Okay. If we ever, so we're going to have a couple episodes, folks, after, no, seriously, we're going to have a couple episodes of the podcast after we finish all of the episode discussions. We're going to have a couple of episodes where we do top lists and stuff. If we did an episode of Phineas and Ferb episodes we will never watch again, I guarantee you this would either be number 2 or number 1 on my list.
I don't feel comfortable with that. I have to wear a top while I'm podcasting.
What?
You said we're going to have a topless episode.
Not Oh my God. I did not say top list. I said top list.
Oh, list. That's right. Okay. I don't want to do that either.
It's your... Wow. You're going to hear some podcast ads right after this. We'll be back to close the show in a moment, folks.
Nice going, Norm. And the next time someone asks for volunteers to host the Love Muffin Service Awards, say your own name, Mr. Blabbermouth.
But, sir, I made all the arrangements for you.
Yes, and a fine job you did, too. We are sharing the space with another event.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Do you realize what would happen if all the other evil organizations found out we were sharing? They'd be all, oh, look, there goes Love Muffin. They share. They're cocky and uncoordinated, and they wear no name brand jeans. Well, maybe some people can't afford designer jeans, Julie.
Wow. That was...
Yeah, I heard it.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you but on the battlefield.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jacobowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Sorry to interrupt. I'll come back when you're done.
We are back here on episode 103 of PALCA, the podcast organization without a cool acronym. Any final thoughts on Save Summer or anything else you'd like to say before I run through the closing, sir?
No, I do not.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Plus, we now have a brand new fourth wall store on the website. Visit shop.geekcastradio.com today where you can buy t-shirts up to 4XL, mugs, gamer mats, and other things as well. Buy our merch today. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network. I am @TFGOnMike. I don't think he's using Twitter anymore, so there's that.
I'm honestly surprised I haven't been banned.
I think he's too busy trying to control the government.
Me and Stephen King and Mark Hamill all just getting our asses booted off of Twitter.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. Wish you'll join us next time. We'll be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb, that being Night of the Living Pharmacists.
Woo-hoo.
For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Deacon Michael.
It doesn't have the same ring. Go back to the other one. Saying but thank you for listening. Until next time.
But wait, there's more.
You know what? We didn't talk at all about the how terrifying the attic spider scene was. I mean, after that, I was afraid of spiders. It's like, holy crap. Yeah. This is terrifying. This is like really scary.
Yes. Poor Candace and her fear of spiders.
She had it bad.
Yeah, she had it bad. And I don't blame her. I saw Arachnophobia whenever that came out.
Oh, yes.
Best scene of that entire movie was the nail gun scene. Shoot them fucking spiders. Shoot them good. Make sure they dead.
I remember, oh my gosh, I can't even remember the name of it now. It's like some 1940s black and white movie. It was called like Night of the Arachnids. It used to come on Son of Svengoolie Saturday mornings. Ooh. And it was like, I want to say it was Bill Shatner.
Okay.
And they used, I mean, it wasn't like the giant spider one. That was a different one. But the one, it used tarantulas. And there were like hundreds of tarantulas. It was pretty scary. I mean, yeah, I was like 8 or 9 at the time when I saw it. I was like, holy crap.
You're lucky to get me to watch Charlotte's Web. So,
Uh-oh. Blanchard has to get over his fear of spiders now. What's going to happen if you go up in the attic? What are you going to do?
Ain't got no attic, thankfully. Not anymore.
I've got that.
Make sure that
there's no spiders in it. No spiders allowed. I'm actually pretty kosher with spiders. I let spiders live, like, in my bathroom because they do the work, you know? I don't want any bugs in my bathroom. But I'm okay with spiders because they eat the bugs.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with spiders outside if they want to, you know, just stay outside.
Sometimes if I see them, like a particularly gnarly one inside, I'll scoop them up and let them go out. But lately it's been too cold for that. So like there's one that I let live. I'm just like, no, you're good.
I don't know why that needs to be a thing. Stupid thing. Don't make me. Okay, good.
The thing.
It's all right. I was checking to see where that stupid movie is. It's on Disney Plus. I'm already paying for Disney, but the movie, the thing, the
movie.
Yeah, the.
Oh, what movie? The movie.
The Rob Reiner movie that I don't want to watch.
Oh, The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
It's on Disney?
Disney Plus.
All right. Absolutely no reason not to watch that movie. It's an excellent movie. The amount of TV you watch, how could you not have seen this movie?
That's why it's on Disney Plus, distributed by 20th Century Fox. They own Fox. So that's why it's on Disney Plus. Hey, at least it's somewhere that I don't have to pay for it anymore.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's not really any more. That's about it.